Okay, we're holding at the two dots and daf mem beis amud aleph. Okay, the Mishnah said, in the case of Hamecham Shepinahu, lo yitein letochot sonen b'shvur sheyechamu, avo notenu letocho o letoch hakos kidei lehafshiran. So we said that wasn't clear exactly what it was referring to. The Gemara ended up saying either that it's referring to taking the water out from inside, and the yitein letocho is a reference to mayim merubim, lo yitein letocho is a reference to mayim muatim. Continues the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan. Notin adam chamin letoch atzonin, v'lo atzonin letoch chamin. Divrei Beit Shammai. Uveit Hillel omrim bein chamin letoch atzonin, bein tzonin letoch chamin, mutar. So Rashi learns that the question over here is a very straightforward one that relates to the old sugi we had back in Chulin as to whether tata'a gavar. Do we say that when you pour something into something else, that which is on the bottom ends up defining the heat level? There was nogeir kashrut, which one was kosher, which one was a problem. Over here, the question is to determine which one is going to end up being a mivashel. So therefore, Beit Shammai says it's all very nice to mix the cold and the hot water, but you're going to have to mix the chamin l'toch atzonein, not the tzonein l'toch chamin. Why? Because he holds tata agavar, divrei Beit Shammai, ubeit Hillel omrim. Bein chamin l'toch atzonein, bein tzonein l'toch chamin, mutar. It doesn't really make any difference, but that's dafka. When do we say it doesn't make any difference? B'medvarim amurim, because when you're talking about a cup, as opposed to a large washing vessel, a cup is used for drinking. When you're talking about a cup, there's two issues. First of all, klisheni. A cup will always be a klisheni that we're pouring into from the mecha. So a klisheni, as we saw before, not mevasha. Furthermore, if you're talking about a cup, then because your interest is to drink, as opposed to ambatya, where you're trying to take a bath, you're not interested in it getting extremely hot, because you want to be able to drink it. And therefore, you don't have the problem of being mevasha. But if you would be talking about an ambatya, then even Beit Hillel would be murder. That chamin l'toch atzonein, v'lo tzonein l'toch chamin. So in other words, according to Rashi, this is nogeya, the sugya that we had of tato or gavar, that which is being poured into is the thing which ends up finally defining the mixture.
Both
Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel hold that. Mishav is how much we're not here. Tosfos doesn't like this whole approach. And, I mean, first of all, he says, so why would the Gemara assume here, both according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, tato or gavar, and we never asked this on the man yamar hold that tilo or gavar? It's outrageous. We wouldn't just assume that that's the trap of the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Furthermore, even if you hold that ilar gava, or whatever, in either of the case, it still is going to be levasha b'tei klipa. The only question we had in Chulin was about the entire mixture. But certainly the first layer that's exposed to the heat is going to be levasha. What's the difference? Which direction it comes in? And how is it that we're ignoring that? I mean, that's a deraisa if you're telling me that it's levasha. That is the answer that the Rishonim offered to Rashi Shita against Tosfos. We only say that something is mevasha tei klipa in a solid, not in a liquid. That's the Ron's famous answer, which I'm sure you are familiar with, I would hope, because we've done it together. I did give you a bechina on that issue. It's in the genes, all right. It's in there somewhere, all right.
Is it considered having no edge? In other words, it's like it has no edge.
It immediately disperses. So the mela, it spreads instantly. My shenkin here, it has to now move through a solid. So as it moves, the first layer is burnt, is cooked. So this is the Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, oser. Mashma, that he's oser, even the case of chamin l'toch tzonein. And Omer of Nachman, halachat Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Now, what exactly was referring to isn't clear. Rav Yosef, Sefer Rav Yosef Lameimar, Sefer Arehu Ka'ambati. This Sefer, by the way, is not the modern Hebrew Sefer. It doesn't refer to a little cup of tea. A Sefer over here refers to a sink, basically, a basin, we would say in English. And this is used for washing. So there, it's the same as the Ambati. Omalei Abaye, So Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, well, the Braisa says by Rukia that Sefer Eina Ka'ambati. So in other words, the Sefer is always going to be a cliche. The Ambati, we had the cases before, that since the water flows directly into the bath from the heater, so it's considered to be a Kli Rishon. As a matter of fact, we actually derive from that as a new halakha, that a Kli Rishon doesn't necessarily have to be itself on the Eish, but has to be continuously fed by the Eish. So in any event, if Rabbi Chiya was saying that a Sefer is Kambati, so then he would be answering even a Klisheni, because apparently his problem is that since you're using it for washing, you're perfectly happy to heat up a lot of water. So Abaye Taina to him, no, actually Rabbi Chiya said that even when it comes to washing, a Klisheni is something that we're not matkin on. So let me get this straight. You're telling me that according to Rabbi Yosef, the Sefer Harei Kambati, so now, Reb Nachman's psak, the halakha of Shimon ben Manasseh, would therefore be saying that you cannot mix water, even in a sefer, a klisheni, even if it's chamin l'tov tzonein. Is that what you said? So you're telling me, basically, that you cannot wash up on Shabbos. That's what you're saying. I thought we were matir, well, no, you had a virago to them, at least. That was the minimum. According to you, there's no way to mix water. So you're telling me that the Shabbos rechitza b'chamin lechem? Basically, there's no such thing. That's what Rabbi Yosef was thinking when he answered a sink, a basin. There's no such thing as Rechitza B'Kamen on Shabbos. That's outrageous. No, you misunderstood the psak over here of Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. Reb Shimon, not Misab, but Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, a Sefer Koy? Did you think that Reb Shimon ben Manasseh was talking about the Sefer where we said that only Chamen Atok Tzonin is Mutter, and he, in that case, of Ambati, he's coming along and saying, no, even that case is Osir. In which case, Rabbi Yosef would be coming along and saying, and it would also be Yosef ben Sefer. None of the above is true. He was basically going back on Beit Hillel, Areshakoi, where Beit Hillel was talking about the Kli Rishon, and Beit Hillel was saying, Matir, Bein Chamin Latot Tzonein, and Bein Tzonein Latot Chamin. And there, he comes along with Shimon ben Manasseh to clarify that, no, actually Beit Hillel, as we'll see this is what he means, Beit Hillel never was matir tzonein l'tov chamin. But certainly, the chamin l'tov tzonein isn't what he was referring to. In which case, there was never a problem with the psak of Reb Shimon ben Manasseh and having hot water on Shabbos, as long as it was in a klisheni. Wait, so are you saying that Reb Shimon ben Manasseh holds like Beit Shammai? I mean, that's essentially what Beit Shammai said. Beit Shammai said that notin adam chamin l'tov tzonein v'lo tzonein l'tov chamin. So then when Beit Hillel came along and said, no, it doesn't matter which way you do it. And then Reb Shimon ben Manasseh said, well, no, wait a minute, you can't do tzonein l'tov chamin. So then basically he's saying that, well, we got to stick with Beit Shammai. Is that how he's talking? So if I'm at the Beit Shammai, no. Hachi Kamai, he's saying that the way that you just reported Beit Hillel's da'at is a mistake. And lo nechon to Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, but there never was a machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about whether you'd be allowed to pour tzonein l'tov chamin. Even Beit Hillel was mother, you can't put so name the Tochami. Om Rabuna Breda of Yeshua. Chazina Leva Rava the Lo Kapit Amona. I gotta tell you that I watched Rava carefully, and he never seemed to be mocked one way or the other. Minatani Rapia, his source was that since it says in the Braita of Rabbi Chiya, Notein Adam Kiton Shalmayim, the Toch Sefer Shalmayim, Ben Chamin, the Toch Tzonein, Ben Tzonein, the Toch Chamin. So he saw that Lamaisa, the Braitha, follows the Das of Beit Hillel according to the way we said it, not the way that your Reb Nachman is claiming Reb Shimon ben Manasseh is correct in Beit Hillel. Amalei Ravuna said to Ravashi, I don't see how that proves anything. That case is not a case of mixing water. That case is a case of immersion of a vessel of cold water into hot water. It's not the same because, I mean, you have the walls of the Kli that are mavil between the water, the cold water and hot water, so that if the whole problem of tatar davar, anyway, is that it has an impact, that it's all very nice, but that impact is lost on the walls of the kli. Maybe that's the reason that Rabbi Chiya Paskin met. How does that show that you have a right to actually go and mix the cold water directly into hot water?
You never opened the keton?
No. Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds keton shomayim, but tok sefer shomayim. It sounds like you're taking the keton and keeping it stoppered or floating and putting it into the sefer to warm up. This is actually the case of baby bottle. And it's quoted all the time in terms of the shiloh of the baby bottle. First of all, there's the question of whether the baby bottle situation, according to Rashi, is hatamana. because it's immersed and hidden by the, you know, the side thing. But here, this would exactly be the case of the baby bottle, which one is mutter?
Mono liquid.
Not the mono liquid, we had before the Silon of Chametaria.
Would you not go over the top of it?
Not according to Rashi, that's what we've been talking about all along. That's only Tosis' thing.
You appreciate it.
Or Marley, so Rav Ashi told Rav Huna, I'm sorry, but that was a misquote. Ma'are itmar. Actually, the bright is explained as not floating, but pouring. Ma'are adam kiton shamayin letok sefer shamayin. Bein chamin letok tzunein, bein tzunein letok chamin. Which means based on that bright, Beit Hillel essentially is the way we had him. And therefore, Rav Elamaisa was saying that it really doesn't make any difference. As long as there's no problem of Bishol Bichlal in this Klisheni. Now, this is how Rashi learns. As I said to you, Tosfos doesn't like this whole approach because he doesn't see that there's room for Tatar Gavar issues here in this Sugya. He says that the problem over here is simply an easy way of referring to the norm. The norm is that the thing that you're attempting to change the temperature is being poured into the rove. So in other words, if you're pouring in chamin into tzonein, that means that you've got a lot of tzonein in a container. Now you're adding chamin to it. So there, the Gemara is simply saying it in that way to indicate that your interest is not in eating something to the point where you're going to make it actually yatzeh lettuce. But it isn't really a question of tatar gavar or ilah gavar. For that matter, it isn't even actually a specific amount, because clearly it's going to be dependent on the temperature. I mean, if you've got something that's room temperature and you're putting something that's scalding hot in it, that's going to talk about different amounts. And if you have something that's ice cold and you're putting something that is hot in it. So again, the Bir Halacha speaks out. It does this, even though the Maisa, we don't really paskin particularly, but we're machmer in any event.
What's the need for the word
keto in the other case? This has nothing to do with the discussion in Tosfos. You're 5 minutes behind you, me?
It's talking about.
No, but it's a little bit disturbing when you throw in something that has nothing to do with the conversation that we're at. You talk about it afterwards. But the ketone and the sephel is a reference to usage. Remember, the sephel is talking about something that's used for rechitza, and therefore would be warmed. The way Rashi is learning it would be warmed to very hot. Ashenkin, the ketone is the thing that you're going to generally be drinking from. So it's just the way in which we refer to it's the usage of klisheni versus klisheni, really is the way we use it. But so therefore, according to Tosfos, it's only a question. Chamet of tzonein is because the tzonein would therefore be the rove. Again, rove being defined also by the relationship to the temperature of what you're pouring into it. But it really has nothing to do with its position. It doesn't matter whether it's on top or the bottom. If you poured a lot of stuff in at something at the bottom, it would be exactly the same thing. Okay, I mean, there's other issues that Tosfos has with this too, which is his ambati. He learns that the ambati is also a klisheni, because again, according to him, the issue here is not klirishon, klisheni, and bishul. It is intent. How hot do you want to make it? That's really the issue. But that's all that we're talking about, according to him. Who's going to do our Zorka Hele Commissioner? I will. Zorka Hele Commissioner. Yof Isfakidera. Shehaviran Brutachin. Lo Yitin Letokan Tavuim. If you're talking about a kli rishon that you took off of the fire, so you have now your stew pot or your top shell pot, you take them after they've been boiled, and now you set them down. Lo yitein letochan tavlin. You cannot put on Shabbos into a kli rishon something that could be cooked on Shabbat, because a kli rishon will cook as long as it's hot. Avon notein letocha ka'ara. You could, however, put tavlin into a ka'ara, so your ka'ara would be, let's say, your large serving bowl, which you pour the contents of the pot into, or l'toka tamchui, which is a very giant bowl that you could take a whole ilfa support into. But the point is that would be a klisheni. So there, you can actually add, directly into the klisheni, you can add the spices. Rabbi Yehuda, l'kol noten chutz midover sheyesh bo chometz. Now, it's not clear whether he's saying even in a kli rishon, and therefore he's coming to be matir, and he's saying, no, it's actually okay to put into a kli rishon as long as there's no vinegar in it or fish brine in it that helps it to cook even though it's not on the fire, or whether Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be machmer and he's saying, wait a minute, you can't always put into a klisheni, meaning the ka'ara, the tamchoy that you referred to. If the ka'ara, the tamchoy, also has sharp ingredients in it, salty ingredients in it, then you'd have to be machmer, because even a klisheni could be mabasha. And Gemara is going to clarify Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Rabbi Yehuda areshakoy? Was Rabbi Yehuda going on the resha that was referring to the ilfus, which is now the kli rishon, and he's saying, no, it doesn't matter, you can actually put something into that ilfus if you want to, as long as it doesn't contain the something that's going to make it cook faster, such as the vinegar that's here. So then he would be saying, of course, a tremendous kula, that there's no problem, actually, of cooking in a kli rishon normally. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda was saying even your heter of using a klisheni actually is only correct if the klisheni doesn't include vinegar in it. But if it has things like vinegar or fish brine, no good. By the way, you should just know that Tosfos learns that the heter on this tzad is only on tavlin. And the reference is to tavlin, and this is actually how we paskin, the reference is to tavlin that are difficult to cook. So, you know, in other words, if you have unground tavlin, so basically hard pieces of wood, you're going to have pepper. You're going to cook pepper. To cook pepper in a kli rishon that's not on the fire, it doesn't happen. And so in the mela, he's being matir, but not normal foods. The Mishnah specified tavlin for that reason. Masha Inkan, Minister of Shoy Mazalman, pointed out that today all of our tavlin are actually ground, so they may even be kalid vashel, but certainly not more difficult to be mivashel. At least that's a possible assumption. Nafkaminas would be in you know, cases such as we mentioned, the idea of yad nichvedbo, which is a Yerushalmi invention. The words don't appear in the Bible. But that there, where you have the temperature is so hot that you would actually scald an adult hand on it, so there's no difference if it's a cliche. So the question is, and Lomaisa, even though we don't paskin in Mikra Adin, it's a good idea to be machmer, many of the poskim say, on, if it's that hot, even on a cliche. However, those things that are not clear, that even they would have to be, in a klirishon, you'd have to be machmer, that already they're making on. So the nafkamina would be to put tavlin, let's say, into a boiling hot soup bowl. So you wouldn't have to be cheshish, and you'd be able to add it, perhaps. You know, because at least that much, it's saying over the tavlin are more difficult to cook. We have the same situation with salt later on, as we'll see. So in any event, we don't have, from the Mishnah, an obvious raya, do we, as to whether he's referring to the resha and going lakula, and saying you can put tavlin to a kli rishon, or he's talking about the seifa, and he's going lakula, and he's saying you can't put tavlin to a kli sheni if it contains these other ingredients. Tashma, we can bring a raya from the brisa. Titania, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lakol ilfasinu notein. Lakol akideirot rotchotu notein. Here he says beferush. You could put it into the kli rishon. Ilfas akideira or kli rishon. Chutz midavar sheyesh b'chol mitzvatzir. Which means that he's telling us lakula, and that certainly, as Tosfos explains it in a reference to tavlin specifically, that a kli rishon will not be mevashel, something that is difficult to cook. So we have, that means, according to this, three levels. We had certain things that were easily cooked, the kale bishul. So we had before cases of kale bishul that could even be cooked with an iwi, which means it doesn't even soak in the water. You just pour the water over it. And the kulias aispanian and so on would be even from an iwi of a klisheni. So you had dag hamaliach hayashan. That's one extreme. The other extreme is that you have something such as tavlin, that won't even cook in a kli rishon, which is not al ha'esh. So when we give these general guidelines about kli sheni eino mevashel, or a kli rishon is mevashel, not locus about iroi from a kli rishon, we've mentioned before the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, that an iroi of a kli rishon has the same din of a kli rishon. Again, all of those things are general rules, but we need to know where we have our yotzim min hakol, because there's some things that you have to be more makor, and some things that in places you can be more make him on.
Two different types of heat of tzar.
I know what you mean.
The heat of the tzar and the regular heat of the unit. So therefore,
I don't know what the unit is.
even as possible. Kli Rishon had this Tzir or Chomer setup. It was a Kli Rishon with regular heat plus the heat of the Tzir.
When you're saying the heat of the Tzir, you're talking about the caloric content of the Tzir.
No, we're talking about the...
Whatever it is that the Tzir does to... Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what he's saying. Amale Abai. Sever Rabbi Yosef Lamima. So Rabbi Yosef took from this, if you're talking about Tavlin, I mean, the most important Tavlin at all, of all, is certainly Melach. So Melach, I have Tavlin, I mean, to cook salt. It would also be, just like these things, a Kli Rishon, it could be Mavushal, but in a Kli Sheni, it certainly would never be Mavushal. And Omar Abaye, well, I don't know, there's a price, it's just the opposite. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Melach ain't not Tavlin, and actually, Melach is easier to cook than a Kli Sheni Nami Vashela. You could cook salt even in a Kli Sheni. Now this is pleaded with Nachman. Remember Rabbi Nachman, Tzricha Milcha Bishula Kibisra Nitura. Rabbi Nachman said, if you want Bishul to affect salt in any way, it's got to be cooked the way the Basar of a Shor has got to be cooked. So in other words, it's got to be cooked for a long time on the fire. But meanwhile, the Gemara's implication is that the Basar of a Shor doesn't cook in a Kli Rishon. Because otherwise, it's not a very good comparison, is it? In other words, if you would take a piece of meat, a large piece of meat, put it in a Kli Rishon, it's not on the fire, you won't be Mevushal. Otherwise, the comparison would make no sense.
Cooking the salt itself, not the
salt
aspect of the
ability
to cook.
No, the salt itself. Vinikini Amri, Sever of Yosef Lamir. But now, the other version has it just the other way. That Rabbi Yosef thought that Melach Reel Ketavim the Bikli Rishon B'Sheva Bikli Sheni Lo B'Sheva. That Rabbi Yosef actually, he thought that Melach is Ketavim and will not cook in a Kli Sheni, to which Abaye said that actually, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Melach Eina Ketavim the Bikli Rishon Nami Lo B'Sheva, which is the opposite of what he said before. In the first Lashon, Abaye said that the Bryce Rabbi Chiya was Polegal of Nachman, and that the Brizer of Rechia said that Melach will be Mevushal even in a Kli Sheni. According to this Lashon, Hainu, Rav Nachman. Actually, the way that Abaye was now quoting Rav Chia is exactly what Rav Nachman said. That Tzricha Milcha Bishula, Kibisra Datura. And that you'd be able to be Mekil on Melach. Now, on our Melach, there's Bekal no problem. Because our Melach is actually Mevushal. The processed Melach is already cooked. Yeah, apparently the crystallized salt is apparently all cooked. I mean, this is what I'm told. I don't know, maybe some new.
Whether it comes from the yard or whether it comes from the mountain, the source of the salt.
I didn't see it. I mean, there was a scandal lately about this issue. I don't know. Yeah, that I heard about chometz. I heard, but I didn't hear any recent rumblings about the kashrus of salt or, you know. Okay, that's going to be, I don't know. Wait, okay, so bottom line on this, we're coming up with a structure that takes us from Kli Rishon al Ha'esh to a Kli Rishon that's not on the Ha'esh, down to an Iroi of Kli Rishon, to Kli Sheni, then a question of Iroi Kli Sheni in some very rare cases of Kalei Lehit Vashel, and then perhaps to the Kli Shlishi. The question is whether there really is such a thing as a Kli Shlishi. The truth is that it never appears anywhere. But there's a common, I mean, maybe a myth, but there's a common assumption that it's certainly okay to cook in a Kli Shlishi. To put tea in a Kli Shlishi, actually, the Mishnah Berurah baskets like this, to put tea in a Kli Shlishi. The problem is that it doesn't say anything anywhere about a Kli Shlishi. Chazon Ish holds that a Kli Shlishi is a myth. There's no such thing.
Same as a Kli Shlishi.
Yeah, if it's not a Kli Rishon, what's the difference if you move it down many places? I mean, once it's cool, it's cool. But if it isn't cool, it's no different than the Kli Sheni. The Orach HaShulchan, by the way, says the same thing, which is why many people are mocked not to use tea bags on Shabbos. It's all just to make the sense of the tea before and then to mix something which has already been cooked. Then there's that other problem that we spoke about, which is the Yerushalmi about Yad Nichveit. Which is already a chumrah as well, that is kedai to take, because we don't pass him like that, because it doesn't appear in the Bavli anywhere. the difference between Yad Tzeled Bo and Yad Nikveit Bo, but nonetheless, the Poskim generally advise to be Machmir. However, most say you don't have to put these swimmers together, you know. So in other words, if you're gonna, if you want to be Machmir, let's say on the Melach, you know, don't have to be Machmir in a Klish Lishi, or in the Yad Shem Nikveit Bo, and so on. In other words, enough is enough. Exactly. Although the truth is, there are some shittas hold you can't make any distinctions once it's Yad Nichves. But is that the point of Yad Nichves is that we're not interested in the kli, we're interested in the temperature rather than the heat content. Because once it's that hot already, so it's not going to make any nafkamina, because but whatever kli it's in, it has enough, the temperature is enough that you have enough energy to heat the kli and then to go on to eat what's inside the kli. So, but anyway, look, there's always room for chumras if you're looking for them. But that's the basic approach. We'll go over it as our Hashem and our review. Much work. I'm going to try that again. Not bad. Not bad at all. En lo tnin. Kli tachat haner. Now here we're moving on to a new sugya. The sugya over here is not clear what it is. There's two possibilities in how to understand this Mishnah. One issue is called mevato kli mehekano. You're not allowed to take a kli, which was usable on Shabbat, and because you're putting it into a position where it's going to have muktzah in it, and it will now be the basis for that muktzah, you won't be able to use the kli any longer. No, not necessarily, but you can't put it there in order to collect muktzah. Why? Because at the moment that you do that, Rashi has a very interesting explanation. The moment you do that, you might as well have hammered the kli down. Because you're not going to be allowed to do it, right? Are you allowed to hammer a kli down with a nail on Shabbos? Do you agree that you're not? How about that you glue it with super glue? You can't glue it either. What's that? It's imaginary super glue. That's a separate question. It's an interesting separate question, but it's a separate question. Lamaisa, for all intents and purposes, and in most circumstances, you've now been mechaber this kli with glue, says Rashi. So here we have a virtual malacha. Fascinating idea. Okay? Another approach, which is entirely, almost the other extreme from Rashi, is that Chazal asered bitul kli mehechano because of the fact that it's mamayad and onek Shabbos. We don't want you to lose your rights to use kelim on Shabbos. After all, we were very makel on dinim of mukta in order to allow you to use your kelim. Since the original Takana at the time of Nehemiah, we've brought things down considerably. So we don't want you to go around now and utilizing your kli in such a way that you're not going to be able to make use of it. Okay, but all day long you're not going to be able to take it now. That's another possibility. So that's one way of understanding the Mishnah now. Another way of understanding the Mishnah is the question of whether you can be no-till something for a davar she'eino nital. When you are moving a kli for purpose of a thing which itself cannot be moved, that already is basically, again, this is my focus here, what the problem is, but it's a type of mukta. Now, it may also be a type of tircha, according to Tosafot, which we'll talk about. But let's take a look at the Mishnah and see what the possibilities are. Ein notzin kli tachat haner, bekabel bo et hashemen. Let's say that you have a oil lamp. You want to put now something underneath that oil lamp to have any oil that drips down, it should fall into this plate. You can't do that. Ve'im natnu mi ba'odio mutar. To do so during the day is okay. We don't have a chashash that you're going to do something usher on Shabbos because of it. Even though in Nayotimen, you can't use the oil that drips into it. The Fisha Eino Min HaMuchan. That oil was Muksa Machmas Isur. Because that oil you weren't allowed to take out of the lamp, since the lamp was burning. So during the time that it's burning, everybody is made, even Rabbi Shimon is made, that at the time that it's burning, you can't take out oil. And to remove the oil, for sure you can't, because it's Mechaba, that's an Issa D'Oraisa. But once there's an Issa D'Oraisa, take it out. So there even Rabbi Shimon is made that while it's burning, if it falls out, it's still considered to be Muksa. The question of you is afterwards. When it goes out, okay. So the Mishnah is saying, at that point now you will have been mevato the kli mehekano. Well, it's the same type of thing. It's not nolad. Where's the nolad? What did it change? It was oil before. It's oil now. Oh, Half a pisha amru in no tzrin kli taka tarnigolet the kabel beit satan. Now, here we get into our clear cut distinction in the case. You have now a tarnigolet who is about to lay an egg. Now that is Noah. And you're not allowed to use that egg on Shabbos. The problem is you also don't want the egg to go rolling down into the street and break it. So what you think is a good idea is to take a pie plate maybe and put that tarnigolet in the pie plate, and that way that egg is going to end up ready for baking. So that's a great solution. Problem is that it says that you cannot put a kli underneath the tarnigolet. Now, again, are we talking about over here? I mean, it's mashma, it's the same issue. It's the Mishnah, right? You can't put the kli underneath the dripping lamp. You can't put the kli underneath the tarnigolet. Avol kol fe'al ha'kli shelot tishaver. But once the tarnigolet lays the egg, you can take something and cover the egg with it, so now the egg won't be able to roll away, or it will be protected. Now, what this is saying is that a kli can be nital l'tzorech, a dover sheino nital. Because as long as I'm not being mevatel the kli me'echano, I have no problem of being no to the kli for it. Oh my rabbi, my time of the Rav Kista. What's the logic over here? The logic is that Rav Kista holds, kosova, tarnigolet asuya lahatil beit sata ba'ashpa, ve'ina asuya lahatil beit sata b'makom midron. I mean, even a chicken has got some intelligence. And therefore, it's programmed not to lay an egg where the egg is going to be rolling away and cracking. That's a pretty good instinctive response. But a tarnigolet is not intelligent enough to know that this particular place is exactly where everybody comes to dump their garbage, and they're going to stomp right on my egg. That tarnigolet doesn't know. Therefore, Tainis Rav Kista. Okay? The norm is that you don't have to worry about the egg rolling away. Therefore, you can't be metaltopically for that. But since if it lays an egg in an ashpa, you'd have to protect the egg by putting a little cover over it. So you can put a pot over the egg, and that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what he's saying is that hatzala mitsuya hitiru, and hatzala she'ina mitsuya lo hitiru. That chazal were mocking you to move a kli when it's something that is a norm that you'd have to worry about. But something that you don't normally have to worry about to be metalto, a kli, for that type of hatzola, since it's a dover sheino nito b'shabbos, you're not allowed to move the egg, you would not be allowed to move a kli to catch the egg. Now this is assuming, this analysis is assuming that our problem is moving a kli l'tzorech a dover sheino nito. The Gemara has so far not thought up the difference is in terms of being mevata kli me'echano versus being no tel a kli sholo l'tzorech adover hanito, right? So we're assuming now it's all one problem. What is your right to go ahead and to move a kli on Shabbos for something that is not going to be able itself to be moved? That's the yisser. Now the shayla, so why were they matter the case of putting it over it? That's because that's a norm. Now your taina, Tosfos does. I mean, certainly the case in the Mishnah should be a norm, isn't it? I mean, lamps drip, so you'd have to worry about the oil. So why wouldn't they allow you now to be matzil underneath? And to Tosfos, because the norm is that people put kalim under the lamp when they light them. So therefore, why would we be matir for an idiot who didn't bother taking care of it before? And that part of it is in the matzri. It's not that tiftuf per se is not matzri, but that the hergel is that people put it while before they light. It's not something that you come to think of afterwards.
The chicken
thinks slowly.
Yeah, the guy doesn't know.
Yeah, it's there, of course.
Does the
egg become... You? Yeah, so we're not talking about that distinction now. We're ignoring the distinction of what happens to the kli. Later we're going to get to that. So therefore the logic, according to Rabbah, is in terms of Hatzala Mitsuya versus Hatzala She'ena Mitsuya. Eitzei Abaye. You're telling me that you cannot save something that you weren't able to consider was going to happen. Vatanya, nishbro lo chavit shel tevel berosh gago mevikli uliniach tachtel. Now tevel you're certainly not allowed to use on Shabbat, and nonetheless it says over here you have, let's say, a barrel of wine. It cracks on your roof, and now the wine is leaking out. you can go and bring a container, put it underneath to catch the wine that's dripping. So, I mean, that's certainly not considered to be atzalah mitzuyah, is it? And nonetheless, we're using it and neitel it for the tzarek of teva, which is not neitel on Shabbos. How do you explain that? The answer is the Gemara, b'guf echareti, b'shchicha d'paki. We'll have to say that the cases over there are talking about brand new untested barrels, and there it's indeed atzalah mitzuyah, because such things very often crack, and memela, they were matir moving the kli for this purpose. How about this? It says that you can put a kli underneath a ner in order to catch little sparks, that could, you know, little pieces of the wick that fall in it, and to make a little hole in your tablecloth and so on. And, I mean, over there, it's not so shriyak, is it? No, it's not a shriyak. That is indeed shchichi. You know, some wicks try to, they make more drippings than you'd like, a fire, and therefore it's okay to do that. Eisvei kofin ka'ara alaner shelo yeachez bikora. How does it say that you're allowed to take a pot and put it above a ner in order to prevent the roof from catching fire? Certainly that's not a very normal thing, that it should get that hot, that you have to worry about the roof catching fire. Well, I mean, it depends. If it's a dwarf's house, you'd have to worry, wouldn't you? I mean, so maybe it's talking about the Yechini, you know. It's talking about like a really low house. The Shkiyah would like them. Maybe over there, indeed, it would be the kind of thing that could happen all the time.
It doesn't put it out.
It just prevents the heat from going any higher. Okay, so far we're not ready yet to say the din of Mavata Klima Hechano. In other words, we're trying to fit everything into one particular set of Hatzolah, that is the norm, that we would move after. All right. How about the V'chein Kora Shenishbera? V'chom Chinoto B'Safsal U'Ba'ayuchot HaMita. Now, this certainly doesn't sound like a very common occurrence. If you have a roof beam that is cracked, so it says that you can take now your bed, basically, the long part of your bed, and put it up against the roof beam to prevent it from falling in. I mean, that's certainly being metalto the kli, litzurik, something that is a binyan here. I mean, it's completely also to be metalto. And nonetheless, you're saying that it's okay to do this on Shabbos? How do you explain that? Well, here too, it's talking about, apparently, kishuri chadati, the avida de pati. This is talking about new korot. You just moved in. Obviously, I mean, the house is going to pretty much well collapse. Yes, I mean, it was talking about an Israeli kablan. And you just moved in, and so you have to expect the worst on every level. So, Mamela, it's very reasonable to be concerned about such a thing. Okay. How about notin kli tachat adelik b'Shabbat? How about putting a bucket underneath a leaky roof? Yeah, it's also talking about an Israeli kablan, but the chadatim, the shrifi, the dalfi. That's talking about a brand new house. And of course, a brand new house is going to have a leaky roof until you get all the kinks worked out of the house. So that's what we're talking about. But Yosef says, no, none of this is what we're talking about. Actually, the issue over here is not because of the same issue that we have in our Mishnah, Notin Kli Tachat HaTanagol and all of that. It's not because we're being metatal for Davar Sheino Nitel. It's because he's being mevatel Kli Mehechano. Our problem over here is this new concept of Bitul Kli Mehechano, and Rashi elsewhere, Tosa Springs, says that that's a problem because it looks like soter. Rashi here says that it's because it looks like binyan, essentially, because you've now banged this kli in permanently. And again, another Rishonim learned that the only problem is that you're ending up not using your kelim properly for Shabbat. We'd like you to have your kelim. Okay, so far we have two possible explanations. Tomorrow we'll have to, not tomorrow, Tuesday. This is tomorrow. Okay, so yeah. So tomorrow, Nir Tashem, we'll take a look at how now to fit the Mishnah into these two approaches. But again, the two approaches are, there's one issue of, can you be metaltel something where the whole purpose of that tiltel is for something which itself cannot be metaltel? And there's a shayla, we matir a hatsola under these circumstances where it wasn't something that is abnormal. It's something they would allow because it happened. And the other virtues, which we just started looking at now in Rabbi Yosef, is this new concept of levato kli mehechano, in which case there's a tremendous difference between taking the pot and putting it over the egg, or taking the car and putting it under the egg, something that we didn't. In other words, in order to account for the difference before we got to the dinim of levato kli mehechano, we had to go through this whole thing about chickens and how they don't mind laying their eggs in some places but wouldn't lay it in other places. And with this new approach, of course, we don't have to have any belief in chicken intelligence. Yeah, exactly. All right. That's that movie. What is that?
Chicken. There is